God be the glory.
Amen.
We are once again grateful to God for blessing us to be able to come to the Fairview Church of Christ and to deliver nothing but the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I certainly appreciate the elders, the leadership, the membership here at the congregation. I appreciate the ministry for encouraging the congregation to have me once again return and be able to deliver the word. I appreciate my wife being with me. She's always traversing the roads with me and helping me to know what's right and wrong, and scolding me when I'm wrong. Helping me to stay in the word and to stay in the straight and narrow way in the road as we travel to and fro. I always encourage a congregation to lay hold on salvation by hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, and putting him on in baptism for the remission of our sins. When we repent, we are able to confess him with our lives. We are able to go down into that watery grave and be forgiven of all of our sins and rise and walk in the newness of life. I am certainly grateful that Brother DeRee has already extended the invitation, but we have the invitation 24 hours, 7 days of a week. So you can come to the Lord anytime. And this fine leadership here, I know, will not mind waking up and baptizing you at all hours of the night, all hours of the morning. I know that when my wife and I were at the Church of Christ in Jackson Street, we woke up many a night early in the morning, sometimes 2 and 3 in the morning when we were in Terrell, Texas, especially preaching the word at West End Church of Christ. And we had church probably for an hour. The baptism probably took 5 or 10 minutes. But that hour of worship put us back to sleep and put us in the mood to go through the day and enjoy living for the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to do the same. I'm looking forward to the gospel meeting at Lincoln Church of Christ. The Buttries are here. The Binkleys are here. So I know we're going to have good preaching. Because if I am in any way deferred from preaching the gospel, the Buttries are able to do that. And we're going to have good singing because the Binkleys are here. And I know that Mike will do a great job. But not only will he do a great job, we had a great job tonight. And I want to encourage you in what thus saith the Lord. My topic is every member a minister. Every member a ministry. And I know Brother DeRee has done an excellent job, and Sister Christy DeRee, I know they have a work here, and I know that they are laboring very hard to do what God wants them to do, and I know also that they are living what they are preaching. And I'll be discussing that a little bit tonight as we look at the topic, every member a minister. Now, before we get to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, I want to call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses of 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the King James Version. I normally read from the New International Version, but I'm going to tonight read from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses of 1 through 5. And as we look at this, I want us to understand that we are thinking not only about a minister, we are not thinking about just a member being a minister. We are also looking at ministers like myself and like Brother DeRee, ministers who are standing in the pulpit declaring the word of God. And we have a charge from Paul to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Says, preach the word. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. why have I been given that charge? Why have the ministers that are present tonight been given that charge? Because the Bible says in verse number 3 that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I have a charge as a minister of the gospel to preach nothing but the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that politically there are a lot of things that are being said. There's a lot that's being done. I realize that in this political world, some people are Democrats, some people are Republicans, some people are independents, some people are individuals who just don't care and don't want to get involved in politics. But I'll tell you one thing, as we approach the 4th of July, I am so happy to be an American. I'm happy to be in the United States of America, where I can worship the Lord freely. I'm thankful to be in a country where we are able to labor and receive a reward, and even after we retire, we are still able to receive a reward. I'm thankful to God that in this country we are as free as we are, and I'm thankful for those who made that possible, especially those who gave their life, the ultimate sacrifice. I'm thankful to God that as a minister, I can preach the word freely. I'm not oppressed by government. Our children, our oldest daughter and her husband and their children were in China. And they would call from time to time, and I would be asking them questions like, are you preaching the word? Are you able to baptize? Are you able? And they said, Dad, you're going to have to stop saying that. You have to stop saying that. We're going to get in trouble. I said, what do you mean by that? Said, well, if you keep asking us, are we preaching the gospel? Are we baptizing? Are we doing this and doing that? We're going to get run out of the country, or we may get arrested. I said, really? And I said, well, what do you want us to say? Well, have you been having friends and loved ones over today? Have you been taking baths today? And things like, I said, honey, I just can't say that. I said, well, put mama on. You know, we have new names. New names. Yes. When you get married and you're married as long as we are, we have new names. My name is still Dad, but my wife's name is, can you put mama on? Can you put mama on? Is mama there? Is mama there? That's her new name. Is mama there? Is mama there? And I don't know why the children call me, but I have someone who can help me on that. They're called grandchildren. They still say Papa, and they still say Gigi. And when they come out, they come running and they holler, Papa, can we go to Cracker Barrel? Can we go to Target? Can we do this? Can we do that? And then later on, they say, Gigi. And my wife says, can I get a hug? So at least I have some help with the grandchildren in recognizing that I am there. Is mama there? Is mama there? That's a new name, new name. But I'm just saying simply that I'm happy that we're able to speak about worship. We're able to encourage baptisms. We're able to do what's necessary to bring souls to Christ. In fact, one of my granddaughters was baptized over in China as they preached the word, and I was happy about that. The Bible says there'll come a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine, verse 3. But after their own lusts, they're going to heap to themselves teachers that will be pleasing to their ears. They have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to do what they want to do. And there's going to come a time when there are going to be people who will be speaking to what they want as opposed to what God wants. We had the baptism introduced to us in Acts chapter 2. It was changed by ministers who were not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They simply say, all you have to do is to come and pray this prayer or pray that prayer, and you will be able to receive Christ. You'll be able to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the rest of the apostles stood up and preached the word, and the Jews and the Romans who were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus asked, what must we do in order to be saved? They wasn't told to pray a sinner's prayer. They wasn't told to just come forward and just say that I want to be a member of the church, or I want to be a Christian, and then go back to the church of their choice. They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ. Acts 2, the Bible says you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 2:47 says you'll be added to his church. So that's what the Bible speaks. But nowadays there's a lot of confusion on that, because there are a lot of folks preaching something different than the word of God. They even preach sprinkling now. If you're sick and shut in and you missed being buried with Christ in baptism at some point in your life, we could just sprinkle water on you if that's what you want to do. You can do whatever you want to. Just confess with your mouth and the Lord will receive you. Just believe in your heart. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and they are having their ears pricked to what they want to hear rather than what the word of God has to say. We've got to get back to the word. The Bible says they shall turn away their ears, verse 4, from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, lies. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So I have a charge. I have a charge as a minister in the Lord's church. I have a charge to preach the word. And every minister in here, your minister, preaches the word. And I know he does, because you've had him here for quite some time. And when I heard him, he was preaching the word. And I know he's still preaching the word. And if he gets away from the word and starts preaching what man wants to hear in the world, then we need to have a change. We need to have a Bible study. Amen? So the word of God is true. And it's teaching the young man Timothy to preach the word all the time. Preach the word even when it is not very beneficial to you to preach it. Even when it's not popular to say some of the things that need to be said, preach it anyway. We've got some gender divide now. The Bible lets us know that God made man and God made woman. And that's what the Bible says. And man and woman together intimately in marriage can reproduce. Men with men can't reproduce. Women with women can't reproduce. The Bible didn't put it like that. Romans 1 talks to us all about this gender problem that we seem to be having in the world. And there's a lot of difficulty in preachers standing and preaching this particular topic. But the Bible lets me know to preach when it's popular and when it's not popular. It's popular to preach transgender, but it's unpopular to preach that God made male and female, and that's all he made, male and female. Somebody says, well, they were born that way. Well, now, if the Bible says that we have to become like little children in order to enter into the kingdom, because little children are so, they are so forgiving, they're so loving, they're so wonderful and pleasing to God. If the Bible says we have to become like them, and then says in Genesis 19 and in Romans 1 that is wrong for us to deal with men, with men, and women, with women, then the Bible is saying that if you were born that way and you're displeasing to the word of God, Romans 1, it's a contradiction. Become like little children and they are born sinners? You see the contradiction? How can you do that? No one's born that way. We are taught that. And as a result of wrong teaching, wrong behavior becomes a part of individuals. And it's unpopular to stand and to do that. But just like Daniel 3, when the three Hebrew boys found themselves in the fiery furnace for not bowing down to the adulterous king that Nebuchadnezzar, or the adulterous idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had given and told to bow down to, or you're going to end up in the fiery furnace. They went on into that fiery furnace, and the Bible lets me know that they came out because there was a fourth one in there with them who looked like God. God was with those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And not a hair on their head was burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. God will be with you when you stand for what he wants you to stand for, which is teaching nothing but the word of God, even when it's unpopular. Romans chapter 10. Go with me there, verses 14 through 15. Once again, the Bible is letting us know Paul's charge to preachers preaching to disobedient people. In Romans 10, verse number 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Wow, that tells me I have to preach, and I have to preach nothing but the word of God, because people are not believers, and how shall they believe if they haven't heard the truth of God's word? So we have a charge from Paul to the young man Timothy to preach the word, and then Paul's charge to preachers, preaching to disobedient people, is to let the people hear, make sure they hear. And then how beautiful are you? It's not just really talking about the feet, it's talking about how beautiful you are when you stand on the truth. How pleasing you are in the sight of God when you stand on the truth. And I believe this is to of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe the word is telling us that we are commissioned by the Lord. And being commissioned by the Lord, we have to teach where the Bible teaches and be silent where the Bible is silent. So what's the charge to go forth? How are we called? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am always, even until the end of the world. That's a charge not only to those of us who stand in the pulpit and preach the word. It's a charge to every child of God who's been buried with him in the baptism for the remission of sins. That's a charge. It's a charge to each one of us to go everywhere we can and preach the word. Brother Crowder, what does that mean? It means live what you preach. We're preaching every day. We're preaching the word of God every day. And when we stand on that, and when we preach nothing but the word with the lives that we live, it brings us to our text. And it brings us to a beautiful text. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Let's go through that together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is the perfect will of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's a charge to every Christian. When we've gone down into the watery grave of baptism, we've come up a new creature. We've come up a child of God. We come up able to make heaven our home. Should we die right after we're baptized, we can come up and be able to make heaven our home. Should we continue on through life and do what God wants us to do, we can make heaven our home. But the Bible says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you preach right. What do you mean preach right? Be clean and live godly lives. Be clean and live godly lives. Romans 6 and 4, rise and walk in the newness of life. I beseech you, I beg you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Look like what you're preaching. That's all he's asking us to do. Look like what you're preaching. And that makes all of us preachers. It makes every member a minister. Everyone that's been buried with Christ in baptism are ministers by the lives that we live. Clean, holy lives. Sometimes people say, well, I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear a sermon. Well, what are you saying there? You're saying, I want to see that you're doing what you're preaching. When the income taxes come out, I want to see that you are listing everything just like it's supposed to be and you're not cheating on them, amen? Well, what does that mean? You're listing your children and not your dogs and cats. You're doing what is right. On the job, you're not loafing. You're working. You're doing what is being asked of you. In your neighborhood, your neighbors know you as men and women, soldiers of Christ, different from the world. They're not seeing you drunken and in the street. They're not seeing you cussing and carrying on. They're not seeing you fighting and fussing with your spouse. They're not seeing dysfunctional families with your children. They're seeing godly people living a godly life. They're seeing you wherever you go, in the grocery store. You know, when COVID stopped everybody from doing this and doing that, you still saw people at Walmart. You still saw people at the hairdressers, you still saw people all over the place, but the churches shut down. And I'm not saying it was wrong to shut down when it needed to be shut down, but I'm saying that if you can go those places and not worry about COVID, then you can come to the Lord's house and not worry about COVID, amen? And I'm glad that you use wisdom at Fairview Church of Christ to know when to stay open and when to close. You have to be able to understand the difference between right and wrong. We don't want everybody to be ill. We don't want anyone to be dying. We want to be healthy individuals. But by the same token, we want God to step into our lives and let us know that we are okay, because he's going to take care of us. He's going to help us in every way to be able to stand and to preach the word of God. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, we are not to forsake the assembly. Because when we come to the assembly, we edify and uplift one another. When I walked in here, I saw people that I knew, members that I knew from years ago, members that I know are in touch with God. And that just lifts me up. It makes me happy. Fairview is a wonderful congregation. And you got to assemble. Really understand that. Amen. You stay at home, you don't know that. You don't know that. And sometimes people are talking about going to the hospital, and they've been diagnosed with this and diagnosed with that, and they never leave until they're well. They don't worry about the person down the hall that's got this, or the person that's got germs over here and over there. They stay. And when you come to the Lord's house, you got to learn how to stay with clean people. Healthy people? I said clean people. People who are spiritually sound. And when you see folks that are spiritually sound, it lifts you up. It makes you happy. Because we're in the world with some folk who are doing all kind of things on our jobs, around us, and everywhere else. Amen? I don't think I've ever heard a cuss word in the Lord's church. Amen? I have said that there hadn't been something said. I just haven't heard. And I'm glad I haven't heard. But on my worldly job, I hear it all the time. So the Bible lets us know that we are clean people. And then it says that as ministers, be not conformed to this world. Verse number 2. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind doesn't change, your behavior doesn't change. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. You have to change your mind. Change your mind. When I married, I had to change my mind. I see some of y'all laughing. You know what I'm talking about. You have to change your mind. There are certain things that you want it to be this way, that way, and then you marry someone that wants it to be the other way, or wants it to be the way they want it, and you have to change your mind. I always use the example. You get married. You go on a honeymoon. You're there in the hotel. Absolutely wonderful. You don't have to cook, especially if you go to one where they have a buffet breakfast. You don't have to worry about cleaning up the room. They have maids that will clean up the room. Everybody's real happy. All right? Honeymoon's over. You head home. All right? There you are at home. You wake up in the morning, and you look at one another, and you just smile, and the man says to the woman, breakfast. And the woman looks at the man and says, I don't know. What's breakfast? And the man says, well, I just want to fix breakfast. And the woman says, well, my daddy fixed breakfast all the time. And then the man looks at the woman and says, my mama cooks breakfast all the time. And it goes on with lunch and dinner. And by a week and a half, you're both dead as doornails. Because you refuse to take on a role of somebody's got to cook. My daddy did all the cooking. My mama did all the cooking. You got to change your mind when you get married. People have fights over the way the toilet paper is on the roll. I like it to go this way. No, I like it to go that way. Just go crazy over nothing. Amen. I see some of you laughing. You know what I'm talking about. I'm simply saying that it's a change of mind, a change of behavior. And the same is true when we're dealing with spiritual things. We have to change our minds from what we used to do in the world, for what we used to like, for what we used to look at, for what we used to be a part of, to what God wants us to be a part of that will help us to live holy, sanctified lives that are separated from the world. We just can't act like the world. You can't just drive along and salute everyone with the one finger that we seem to know about. You got to change that behavior. Amen. That's hard to do sometimes. You may have to turn to the other cheek. And I haven't practiced that yet, so don't start tonight practicing that on me. Hit you on one side, you turn to the other. We're going to work on that. Brother, see, you're going to have to help me to understand that, okay? Okay. Be conformed, the Bible says, to what Christ wants. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by changing your mind to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given, that's unmerited favor given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Be in control, the Bible is saying. Be humble. When you're teaching, when you're preaching, as preachers in this world, as every member being a minister, you have to learn how to be humble. You have to learn how to be kind. You have to learn how to be accepting of people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who don't believe like you do. You have to learn how to be acceptable in the sight of God. He says, prove that which is good. Be humble. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think with control. Be sober. God has given every man a degree of faith. And that man is generic. He's given every man and every woman a degree of faith. That's why we have some ministers that stand in the pulpit, very faithful. That's why we have elders. That's why we have deacons. That's why we have leadership in the church. But the Bible says every one of us are to be in control as ministers for the Lord, because he's given us a measure of faith. My faith, your faith, someone else's faith may be totally different. But we are all, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, supposed to be faithful unto God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In believing that, I stand in the pulpit. In believing that, as a minister, you live like the Bible is telling us in the perfect will of God in Romans chapter 12. By being buried with Christ in baptism, we rise, Romans 6 and 4, walking in the newness of life. We are changed creatures. Things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. We live with control, soberly. We live with a measure of faith that helps us to be stronger as we continue to study the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. All of us together make a difference. When people know that Fairview Church of Christ exists at this location, it makes a difference. It makes a positive difference. And when they see us out in the community, when they see us in the stores, when they see us on the jobs, when they see us in our neighborhoods, it makes a positive difference. But the Bible says we have to do all of this before we can make that difference. But we are all members of one body. We are all preachers. We are all, every member, a minister. We being many are one body in Christ. Liberty Lincoln Church of Christ, Fairview Church of Christ, Jackson Street Church of Christ, Schrader Lane Church of Christ, Hillsborough Church of Christ, all of the congregations that are in line with the Word of God, the Bible says we are all one in Christ. Well, there are 2,000 members over there in such and such a congregation. I don't care whether it's two or three gathered. I want to be there. I want the Lord to be with me, and I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to live right, and I want to be humble, and I want to be able to magnify his name by causing others to come to him before it's eternally and everlastingly too late. And before they read the book, they're going to read us as ministers. We have many members, but we're one body. All members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, abundant mercy, whether we preach, whether we prophesy, let us preach, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Every member has a gift. Every member a minister. Oh, I like that. And when I see somebody that's loving and kind and generous and giving, boy, that just helps me to go even further, to want to get in touch with them. It helps me to appreciate what I'm doing. When I come to a congregation like this and I start shaking hands, and you start, even in the parking lot, before we got in here, I took my hand to shake a member's hand, and they said, I hug. Holy kiss, a holy hug. I was so thankful for that. That's her gift. That's her gift. There's so many with other gifts. You don't have to stand in the pulpit all the time to be a minister. When you usher, just don't have somebody come in and say, hello, how are you this morning? Boom. There's a seat over there. Boom. Sit down right there. Boom. No. Don't be ushering that morning if you don't want to usher. If you don't want to act right, if you don't feel good. Because when someone comes through that door, you ought to be, hello. How are you? We're so glad to have you. I'm so happy for you to be here. And I'm happy, and you ought to be happy. Amen. When they come in here, I don't care if you've got a seat where you've hatched an egg. If they need you to move, move. Amen. I know I got some of you on that one. It's a shame to go to a congregation and you're stuck in one seat and they got to climb over 40 people to get to a spot where they can sit down, when all you have to do is move down. But I got here first, and I need this corner seat. I've got to stay in the corner seat. If I don't stay in the corner seat, the egg won't hatch. But we got to learn how to love and be happy and be cheerful. We've got something that others may not have, which is salvation. We ought to be glad about it. We have to sing like we're happy. We have to look like we're happy. We have to be happy. Amen. How many times have I been told, you got to cut your sermon short because the football team is playing. The Knicks are playing. The Spurs, I got to get home. I got to get home too. That's why I'm glad they put a TV in the nursery. I can just jump down to the nursery after I get through the sermon. I'm just simply saying we've got to learn how to appreciate being a minister, ministering, speaking with our bodies, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Our last scripture, they don't have this up, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, talks about putting on the new man. First, it starts off saying, keep the unity of the Spirit. And then he talks about the gifts of Jesus Christ. But in verse 17 and 18 of Ephesians 4, in conclusion, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, uncontrolled lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ when you're like that. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Every member a minister. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is shouting and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, hatred. And be ye kind, a member who's a minister. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Every member, a minister. May God bless you, and may God keep you. May we continue to have the love. May we continue to have the Spirit of God that exists in this congregation, and even in congregations where you may be a part of, because we are all one with different gifts, but we all minister every day. Every day. And if we're a child of God, the devil is after us to sift us as wheat. He wants to, like a roaring lion, devour us. But if we live like a child of God, we'll be able to hear him in the last day say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. but a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to make heaven our home, and as ministers, to help others to make heaven their home. May God bless you. May God keep you. That's my prayer.